This week I've been kind of thinking about words that, or things that don't go together, you know, oxymorons, things like Christian science, you know, those two words don't go, Christian rock music, okay? This week I think we've experienced one of those. We had Joe and Sarah and the kids were with us, and we just had a great time. They flew in Wednesday and flew out Saturday, so they were just a short time. But Thursday, of course, we spent time together. Caleb and Hannah came over, and we just had a good time of fellowshipping and eating and doing all those things and thanking the Lord for his goodness. And then on Friday after, we went out to eat Friday, and Sarah wanted to go to Moto's, and Joe wanted to go to, what is it? La Coretta, yeah. So we had to eat out twice because we had to make them happy, you know. And my wife, she was bitter about that. She didn't get to cook, and she got over it pretty quickly, though, I think. And just had a great time. And then we stopped at Target after that. And while we were doing that, Joe, I don't know if it's a blog or something or some kind of feed he gets, but he showed me a picture of, it was of Rocky Balboa after one of his fights. You know, he's bloody. He's all, I don't know if it was Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I don't know which one it was, but... And it showed him holding a flat screen TV, you know. He'd been out shopping. And isn't it amazing how one day we are full of thanks for all the great things that God has given to us. And the next day we're killing each other for the things that we have to have and cannot live without. It's just amazing, isn't it? I'm afraid all too often, probably the second is probably a better picture of humanity than the first. And so last week we started a lesson on Thanksgiving, and I want to continue that today, and I'm going to do a little review here, which will work well for those that are visiting. But we spent the whole lesson last week reading verses in the Word of God with the word thanksgiving or thanks in them. And as you remember, 20 times in the Old Testament, the word thanksgiving is used. Help me here. What were some of the contexts of that word thanksgiving in the Old Testament? Okay, there were feasts of thanksgiving. Okay, there was a specific sacrifice of thanksgiving. What else? Praise? Worship? And there were actually specific men whose job was to lead in thanksgiving, which I thought was very interesting. And then, of course, all throughout the Old Testament, there's a call to thanksgiving and giving of thanks. It's very, very clear. The word thanks found 39 times in the Old Testament. And then we move to the New Testament, and there are 9 verses with the word thanksgiving in the New Testament. Some of them you know, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 2 Corinthians 4:15, this is a great verse. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound, there's that word, which means to increase or superabound to the glory of God. And this is so crucial. When we give thanksgiving to God, what does it do? Glorifies Him. It gives people a proper view of God. And that's why thanksgiving is so important. So important. And we saw in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12, what are you going to do in heaven? You're going to spend your time giving thanksgiving to God. And then we saw there are 41 verses. And by the way, if you're visiting, we did not cover all these verses. We covered 28. But there are 41 that talk about giving of thanks. And we need to camp here for a minute. Because these are not easy things. Now, I want to remind you what Ephesians 5:20 says. Listen, giving thanks always for all things. Giving thanks always for all things. Wow. And we saw in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. And then again in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. And I'll just really be honest with you. This morning, Rachel called at 7. I went by the house. And as I was driving over there, I knew what I was going to teach on. And I thought, Lord, how is it possible to give thanks for all things? I mean, it's easy to glibly say, well, in everything, give thanks. Yeah. So there is the call for thanksgiving, and I've kind of moved into the second point, and that is the crisis of thanklessness. And the simple matter of fact is, we live in a time when people are not thankful. By the way, turn to Romans chapter 1. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here. By the way, this was going to be 1 week, then it turned to 2 weeks, and it's going to be 3 weeks now. Because there's just so much that we really need to cover here. But Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And it says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. What are the next three words? Neither were thankful. This is the history of man, okay? But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You look at people who are worshiping idols, and they're doing it everywhere. Why do they do that? Where did that start? Because they were not thankful. Isn't that what the verse says? They weren't thankful to God. And so they made up all these deities that they worship, and they are thankful to those things, and God does not get the glory. And God said, look, because of that, I'm going to give you up to corrupt mind. And historically, men have not been thankful, but hallelujah, folks, in the present, people are not thankful. I mentioned our grandkids were just here. They are only before here, a couple weeks. Lily is 6, right? And I was just overwhelmed by how many times they said, thank you. How many think that's the truth? Every time we had our Christmas with them, it's the only time we're going to see them until probably March. And so they got their presents and things. And guess what Mama said? Just about every present they opened. Now say thank you. Why did she have to do that? It doesn't come naturally, does it? In fact, griping and complaining and unthankfulness comes naturally. And this is historically true. It is true today. It's true in your home. How many of you struggle with your children saying thank you too much? It just bugs them. They just say thank you all the time. Surely there's somebody. Doesn't happen. So there's a real crisis. We see it in the church. We see it in the community. We've had people call for food. And John Mineta, bless his heart, he deals with all these people that call for stuff. He's had people say, well, now we used to give food away, but we had a pantry and all that stuff, and we were afraid some of the food's getting old. We didn't, you know, how that goes. So we give them certificates now to Food City. They can't buy alcohol or lottery tickets. Or cigarettes, okay? So they get these. And what? I'm so glad you're doing that now. I am so sick and tired of that stuff you guys used to give me. Say what? You wouldn't believe the phone calls he gets. And people, you owe me. You're a church. Do I go to your church? No. Am I ever going to come to your church? No. Do I care about church? Yes, when I need something. That's society today. Yeah, I should have had John come in and just, of course, he'd take the whole time and tell you all the horror stories of people. But isn't it true in our nation, too? And again, don't get me off on the NFL. Please don't do that. But I am so tired of people complaining about our country. I don't care. You can go anywhere you want to live, and you won't have it as good as you've got it here. We were in England. England is, you know, they're not a third world country. And we visited some of the church members' homes. And my house is a whole lot nicer than their house. And it's not that I live in the Ritz. I mean, we're blessed. And all we can do is complain and gripe and, oh, you know, I'm just so tired of it. By the way, there is a story in Scripture, I think, that is just so apropos for this. Luke, 10 guys. Remember those 10 guys? Jesus was traveling. Oh, I haven't used my map for quite a while. From the Sea of Galilee, remember it's up here. What body of water down here? Dead Sea and the river that connects them?
Jordan.
The Jordan River, okay. And you got the Sea of Galilee or Gennesaret, you want to call it. Here is Samaria. Jesus is traveling from around Galilee down to Jerusalem. He goes through Samaria. 10 guys meet him as he's traveling. It's probably good I reviewed the map. Some of you may have forgotten exactly what that was. You can see clearly now? Good. All right. They have leprosy. Now, anybody ever met a leper? Some of you, okay, Josh has. Now, it's pretty much under control. I guess there's medications for it, but I guess in third world countries, they're probably, where did you meet a leper at?
India.
India, okay. And terrible disease. And in that day, even worse than today, there was no cure back there, no medicine. A really disgusting, debilitating, disfiguring, would eventually bring death. I mean, these guys were outcasts from society. Can you imagine? You'd have to go on your whole life. You couldn't live in the city. You had to live out in the country. And when anybody comes near, I'm unclean, unclean. Wouldn't that be great? Terrible social stigma. And they come to the Lord, and they desire to be healed. Now think about how bad their life was. And the Lord said, you go to the priest and present yourself. And by faith, they did that. And they're on their way to the priest. And as they're traveling, what do they notice? Wow, I've been healed. You know, the flesh, it's healed. Now, what an amazing thing happened. Life-changing, liberating from this terrible disease that would eventually kill them and was destroying their whole life. And you would expect to read in the next verse, all 10 of these men come back to the Lord and they say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And what happened? One, and it's interesting that Scripture tells us something very specific about that guy. We don't know about the other 9. We know something very specific about that guy. What was it? He was a Samaritan. Samaritan and Jews, oh. Samaritans, they'd intermarried with the Babylonians. They were a cursed race. They weren't true Jews. And yet he's the one that comes back and thanks the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Have you been born again? Think about your condition before salvation. A terrible disease. It was debilitating disease. It's just warming. Oh, my. What's that?
Disfiguring.
Yeah. Would bring death. And there was not a thing you could do about it. And because of your disease, you're going to spend eternity in hell for all eternity. And then one day, somebody came to you and talked to you about Jesus. Mark, who led you to the Lord? Did your mom? Yeah, my mom led me to the Lord too. As a child, and somebody told you that Jesus, even though you are a sinner and you're so wicked, that Jesus loved you. And by faith, you received Christ. You believed and you received. And everything was changed. Everything was changed. No longer under the penalty of sin. No longer under the power of sin. Someday, hallelujah, no longer in the presence of sin. And when was the last time you thanked the Lord? Al Smith, years ago, he came to Bob Jones and did a sacred concert. And a lot of sacred concerts were like, eh, you know. And he came and he sat on a stool. He's a very big man. And he sat on a stool. And he's older. They called him Mr. Singspiration. He wrote a lot of songs. And one of the songs he taught us that day, he would tell the story, the hymn history, and then we would sing the song. And he taught us one, and it was, "I have never forgot the wonder of it all." I'm afraid we have. You know what, believer? You know what we should be doing every day of our lives? Thanking the Lord for what he did for us. Every one of us. All the time. But let's be honest. What do we talk about? Talk about ball games. Talk about what's on sale. Talk about this. We talk about the weather. Politics. Those are all pretty discouraging, especially if you're a UT fan. I mean, they're all discouraging. Wow. We are just like those nine guys. We've been healed. We've been set free. We've got Gift Sunday coming in 2 weeks. Is that right? I think it's 2 weeks. We're going to give everybody a soul winner's New Testament. I'm excited about that. That's great. And if you bring a visitor, you get a Chick-fil-A sandwich, a Christian sandwich. Don't even serve them on Sundays. I mean, how can you beat that kind of deal? Isn't it a shame we have to do that? Here, Christ has given his all for us. And what are we doing? What are we doing? Are we talking about him? Let me give you this is not a New Year's lesson, and this is not my notes. Let me give you a challenge, okay? Let me challenge you to try to hand out one track every day. That's no big deal. I mean, you say, "Well, I'm scared." Just leave it on the table after you eat and run, okay? Not your house, at a restaurant, okay? Hopefully your wife doesn't need it. By the way, I'm not going to finish this lesson anyway, so I'm just going to camp here for a second. We got a call this week. Now, if this was you, okay, I don't know. We don't know who it was. Somebody went out to eat last Sunday night after church and spent a certain amount of money. I don't want to be too... It was between 20 and 40. Okay? That may be too specific. And they left, I figured, a 4% tip. But the good news is, they left a track. And the server called the church. He's a believer. Now, let's think about this. What are the odds that that server, if he was an unbeliever, number one, would read the track? You say, "But their service was terrible." Well, then don't leave a track. If you're not going to leave a good tip, don't leave a track. Now think about this. I know I'm off on rabbit trails this morning, but that's okay. If we could help send someone to hell by an action like that. Think about it. If that's what Christians are like, I don't want to be one. If that's what people at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church are like, I don't want to go there. Talk about unthankful. Now, if it was you, bless your heart, I don't know, okay? We don't know who it was. And if it was you, I love you, and it's going to be okay. But just don't do it again, okay? Well... any more hobby horses I can ride today? I'm getting a little saddle sore here. Okay. All right. Now, what happens when we're not unthankful? When we're unthankful? Well, God does not get the glory. And I love what Dr. Bob Sr. said. When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. What a great saying. When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. Folks, we have a real problem with thanklessness. Now, why? And I've got to hurry here. Number one, because we're people. That's what we just talked about, okay? People are just people. And that's what people do. But secondly, and this is really where I want to camp, and it really came home this morning as I was visiting Rachel. It's hard to be thankful when we have problems. Okay, let's just be honest, okay? We can all run around quoting Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Get spiritual, you know? But in everything, give thanks. It's interesting in the Word of God. In several passages, a word is used in James 1:2. You don't need to turn there, but it talks about divers temptations. And that word temptation can also be translated testing. It means various multifaceted diseases. In 1 Peter 1:6, he talks about manifold temptations or trials. And the simple matter of fact is, if you're alive, you've got trouble. Now, some have very little trouble and some have lots and lots of trouble. But all of us have problems. Oh, let me just, again, I love to do surveys. These are always official. How many of you have problems? Priscilla? Thank you. Okay, good. I know your daughters. You have problems. No, I just kidding. You have great daughters. Wonderful. How can we thank God for things that are bad? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. How can we give thanks for things that hurt us and make our life harder? Why should we be thankful, and how in the world can we? It's interesting. I had already written this illustration in my notes, I think Thursday or Friday. And preacher gave it again yesterday morning in prayer meeting. Many of you know Tori, his son, was called to be missionary in Brazil, was serving in Brazil, was married, had two children. And his wife left him, and I don't want to go into all the gory details. But he had to come off the field. And as you can imagine, Preacher Lassley and Miss Lassley were just devastated. Just devastated. And preacher said, I wrestled with it, and I wrestled with it, and I wrestled it until God put this verse in my heart. And he was weeping. He said, God said, in everything, give thanks. And he said, I began to thank God for that situation. Now, with Preacher Lastly and Tori, we know the rest of the story, don't we? Down at Crown College teaching, he's found his niche, serving the Lord there, doing a wonderful job. But simple matter of fact is, a lot of you folks have troubles, and we have troubles. I am troubled. And we can't see how it's good. So what are you going to do? God commands, give thanks in everything. Always give thanks. How are you going to do that? Now, I'm just going to get started here. The cure for thanklessness, okay? And we'll go as far as I can. Number one, the key to this whole thing is to make sure that you have a right view of God. And I've got three or four things here real quickly. Number one, God is sovereign. Now, look, simple matter of fact is that word sovereign has that middle portion, which is reign. God is ruling and reigning in this world. You say, how in the world can that be? Okay? God is in charge. He is. Now, look, the Bible is very clear about this. You say, well, I just don't understand it. I'm not saying I understand it, but the Bible says in Psalm 15, verse 3, God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And then let me give you Daniel 4. This is a passage after Nebuchadnezzar got proud and God took him down. Remember that? And he was living out in the field. And God brought him back and he said, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven and mine understanding returned to me and I blessed the Most High and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Listen, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. All right. In heaven, everything's under his control. And among the inhabitants of the earth, everything's under his control. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? Look, folks, we've just got to get this thing settled in our hearts and minds that God is on the throne. And whatever happens in our life, God has either authored it or God has allowed it. Now, you say, but, no, this is the truth of Scripture. Now, if I didn't believe that God was sovereign, I'd go crazy. Then there's no rhyme or reason for what happens in my life. It's just luck and happenstance and chance. Hallelujah, folks. I want you to know there is no such thing. God is still on the throne. I got to hurry. Number two. You say, how can these work together? Number two. God is love. God loves you. Wow. It's 1 John 4:8 and 4:16 says God is love. Do I need to explain that to you? I mean, God is love. There it is. It's his very character. In Ephesians 2, it says, for God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. God loves you. And you say, wait a minute. I've got trouble. How can God love me? Surely, in this time, if God is sovereign, he can't be love. He can't be loving, or this would not have happened. And I remind you about Romans chapter 8, and it says, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, because we say, oh, but I got trouble. Here's what Paul says. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, man, if there's a famine, surely God does. Yes, he does. He still does. Nakedness, peril, or sword, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other creeping creatures. They cannot separate us from the love of God. Look, I want you to remember, God is still on the throne and God loves you. Now, this is the Bible. You say, I don't feel like he loves me. I don't feel like he's in control. That's the problem. Bible says the just shall walk by faith. This is true. This is Scripture, all right? God is sovereign. God is love. Thirdly, God is good. God is good all the time. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. And everything God does is good. And you say, whoa, this is what the Bible says. Okay? He says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we do good, what does it do? It gives a proper view of God. Why? Because God is good. And let me give you one more very quickly here. Now I've got 4 or 5 pages and I knew I wouldn't get this far. This one is a great help. Number one, God is wise. Number four, God is wise. God is sovereign. God is love. God is good. And God is wise. Great is the Lord, of great power. His understanding is infinite. Psalm 147:5. Romans 11:33, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways are past finding out. You say, but it doesn't make sense. You've heard this illustration before, but it is so good. How many have ever traveled and seen some beautiful tapestries? They're hanging on the wall. You know, they're beautiful artwork. Some of you folks have been to foreign countries and things, and you look at those beautiful tapestries and every thread in just the right place and just a beautiful craftsmanship and oh, just amazing art. What would happen if you looked at the back of that? Have you ever done that? I mean, there's strings going every which way, and there are knots, and there's no rhyme, no reason for it. And you look at that, and you think, what in the world? To me, that's a great picture of our lives. See, all we see is the back. We see the knots, the broken threads, the chaos. That's not what God sees. That's not what God's doing. Look at the front. Ah. Now here's the catch. When are you going to get to see the front? Yeah, it may not be till you get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to be able to say, oh, ah, well, look at there. Now, we get to see some of that in life sometimes, but often we don't. And there is no rhyme or reason, humanly speaking. But I want to remind you, and I know some of you have been there and some of you there are there now. By faith, you've got to remember, God's still on the throne. And God loves you. And God is good. And he has a good plan for your life. And it may look like knots and broken strings, and it may look like a mess. But God's working. God's got a plan. I mean, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And so, I encourage you to believe. Believe. Believe what the Bible says about God. Now, when I know that God is in control and has a good purpose, a good plan, that he loves me, that he's all wise and he knows what he's doing, when things are not going the way I want them to go or think they should go, that's when I can say, I thank you, Lord, that you're a sovereign God, that you love me, that you have a perfect plan. And Lord, I don't understand. This is not the way I think it ought to go. Lord, because of who the Bible says you are, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to praise you. And I'm going to thank you. And I think that's why it says, be careful for nothing, but at everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Next week, Lord willing, I'm going to give you some examples of some people who put this into practice. Bible examples, okay? We'll see it kind of fleshed out, all right? Lord, we do thank you for the folks today, their good attention. Thank you for who you are. And Lord, all of us need these truths. God, we do. I do. Rachel does today. And many folks in this room do too. God, help us, I pray, to stop and remember who you are. And praise you and thank you, even when things aren't going the way we think they should. Oh God, help us to be people of praise and thanksgiving every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Great to have the Stafford crew with us today. Good. And all family.